Good afternoon, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett is on the line with us to answer questions about city issues of concern to you and to answer some of my questions. I'm Adam Ragusa. I probably should have said that at the beginning of the program. The phone number is to call to speak with Mayor Bennett and to join the conversation are 877-285-9348. That's a toll-free number, again, 877-285-9348. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Or you can send an instant message to screen name WFIU Mayor. And we want to certainly extend a special welcome to our Terre Haute Vigo County listeners. We'd certainly welcome their participation. Again, 877-285-9348, mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Bennett, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, you know, the last program that we did, we had a lot of people interested in talking trash with us, and I understand you've got some updates for us. First of all, how many people have signed up for recycling so far?
We're about 900.
That's an impressive number, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody was worried about the 500, including us. You know, we just weren't sure what the response would be, but they've had to order more, toters, and it's really going well. We've really been working hard to get the word out.
And, what else have you got for us on this topic?
Well, just from a trash perspective, you know, we made an effort to do certain parts of the city and put this in place so we can deal with issues that come up and learn as we go. And so we've had a lot of calls in just asking us general questions, and we're trying to answer those, but we're just asking people to be patient. The new toters will be coming to your neighborhood soon. If you have any questions about that, call the mayor's office or call Republic Direct. But it's really been going very well once people kind of get used to the change, because there is a change. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is we've implemented a new program to begin to get Terre Haute cleaned up, and we've been working with Republic to help do that. But we've also got code enforcement and community corrections involved. And every Tuesday and Thursday now in Terre Haute, code enforcement is providing us with locations that they find in town that are, you know, very, very dirty, whether they're public right-of-way areas or specific property areas that have the city owns or the city's involved with in some way, and we're going out and we're cleaning those up. We started this program last week, and it is going just unbelievably well. There's a lot of trash out there, and it's going to take us some time, but we're really happy about the relationship we've been able to get with both Republic and, the county and specifically Community Corrections. And it is going very, very well just in our 3 days of having that, working for us.
Well, you mentioned you have Community Corrections crews out on the roadside picking up trash and things along those lines. Is it possible for the lower security inmates of the federal prison to get into that program as well?
Well, I don't think the federal, we kind of talked to some people about that, but that's a little bit different, and they don't participate quite at that level. Mm-hmm. But there's some things we can do with the jail and with state. There's some things that we're trying to, move on with this. And I'd like to see us, the community corrections, there's quite a pool there that we can work with for now. And being able to keep up with having, the city there and with the trash trucks there, and we try to target these areas. And so right now,
yeah, where are you hitting
it's
first?
A manageable amount,
Yeah, where are you hitting first?
Well, we're trying to hit the worst spots, and those are identified through code enforcement who tell us, here's some really bad areas, and we go attack those immediately. We're also getting feedback from the public, and a couple of the sites have been directly from the public calling our office. So if they continue to let us know, we'll get it on the list, and we'll make sure we meet that the deadlines that we set to get those completed.
Well, speaking of trash, concern about trash in the parks is something that was mentioned a lot in this prodigious page in the Tribune Star's Readers Forum today, talking about folks largely opposed to this thing, General Ordinance 1, that's going to be considered by the City Council tomorrow night. What is General Ordinance 1? Because there's some dispute about it on that level.
There sure is. And to be perfectly honest with you, I found out about this last week, and I was on vacation last week. Nobody had brought this issue to me to discuss it and kind of answer some of my questions, so I've been working on that just kind of on the fly here this week upon my return. General Ordinance 1 basically would allow specific permits to allow alcohol or events with alcohol at Fairbanks Park only. So it's not a widespread overall park thing. It's just Fairbanks Park on the river would be events that wanted to host their festival, like a Strassenfest or an Oktoberfest, something along those lines. and would get a special permit to serve alcohol within the city park for that event, and then that would be it. Well, the problem I have with this is just really, you know, I think there's plenty of places that, you know, we can, right now it's downtown. That's where most of these events are happening, and the Parks Department wants to bring a lot of these events down to the park. The problem we run into is kind of what is the role of the park and what we want it to do. And my perspective is, if we would want to consider something like this, we need to get all the questions answered before it goes to vote. And the problem, or the position that I'm in right now, I don't feel like all my questions have been answered, and generally I don't support that concept anyway. So I'm not on board with this, you know, for the vote tomorrow night. And it's just, I think it's a little too fast here where we haven't answered the questions for the public and we haven't educated the public about what the Parks Board and what the City Council is proposing to do.
Well, is it a first reading tomorrow or is it a final vote?
No, the first reading was last week in the Sunshine meeting, and so they could vote on it tomorrow night if they choose to.
And obviously, we were talking about this briefly before the show, but you know, sort of the, people can imagine the federal model of passing legislation essentially applies here at the city level. You have veto power once it were, if it were to be passed by the City Council.
Right, and then, you know, they could still come back and do a majority and overrule my veto. But at this point, you know, I really don't want it to become that kind of a political issue. I'd rather just get the questions answered, get it out to the public, because my office has been overwhelmed with they don't want alcohol in the parks. But I can tell by some of the responses, they're not fully educated about exactly what this is saying. That still doesn't mean they would be not opposed or for it. But it, what it means is that we need to do a better job of educating and not just rush this thing through.
Right. While we're on the subject of letters to the editor in the Tribune Star, there was another recent one that I think got a bit of a rise out of you, right?
Well, yeah, I just think it's misinformation, and you know, it's related to the trains and moving the trains. My whole approach to this has been a proactive approach. I mean, I've been in office for 90 days now, and I've already had two meetings with Indiana Railroad and one meeting with CSX and a second meeting upcoming to discuss this, along with talking to consultants. I've also talked to the mayor of Evansville, the mayor of Vincennes, and the mayor of Lafayette, all related to trains and kind of what they've done and what they're doing. And this letter to the editor today is just misleading because Vincennes has abandoned their approach to moving the trains out of town. They're going to build an overpass. Mm. Evansville is doing some different things. They're not sure where they're going to go with it. We're talking about a lot of money, and I don't want to I want to move forward with this. We've got some money coming. There's $450,000 federal earmark for us to do railroad relocation study. We are going to aggressively pursue that and find out where it takes us. But looking at some numbers, it's probably going to be in the $200 to $300 million range to make this happen. And with the new tax plan that's coming, and we're going to lose $5 million a year from the city revenues, we're going to have a hard time making these matches to these federal projects.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about a 20 to 30 year project and probably somewhere between $200 and $300 million. And I just want to make sure that that's the right thing and we have community buy-in, that they're willing to give up all the other things we would need to do just to move the trains, because someday it's going to get to that decision-making point. So I want all the facts, I want feedback from the community, and I want to do what's best for Terre Haute.
Yeah, there are some drawbacks to being the crossroads of America, though.
There sure is.
Listen, we've got a phone call. Robert wants to talk about a noise issue. Robert?
Yeah, I'd like to know what they're ever going to do about the noisy cars and trucks going up down the streets and alleys and waking me up in the middle of the night. Is the mayor going to enforce anything to get these people off the street, or how's he feel about that?
Robert, which area of town do you live in? Robert?
Yeah.
Which area of town do you live in?
I live in the north end of town, 12 Points area.
12 Points. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, you know, one of the first things the mayor does is, you know, agree to uphold the laws of the state of Indiana, the ordinances of our city. And so
that is the first thing that you do.
That is right off the bat. And so if we've got a law or we have an ordinance, we've got to enforce it. And I tell you, you know, that this isn't one that I've had a lot of feedback on. So I guess I don't know how big of a problem it is other than what I've heard myself. But our law enforcement officers will enforce ordinances if they're made aware of that. Now, of course, then you got to catch them. So if it's people driving down the street, sometimes that's a little bit more difficult. But if you will report that to the police, we will begin to look in those areas and try to deal with that. The problem is it's kind of a moving target. So If you let us know about it, we will address it. We have been enforcing a lot of ordinances, including trash, people throwing trash out of their vehicles. There hadn't been a ticket written in many, many years regarding that, of people actually just driving down the street and throwing it. We're pulling those folks over and ticketing them. We'll do the same thing with the noise ordinance violation if we can catch them.
Would it help at all for Robert to get the license plate numbers of offenders?
It would, but you got to catch them in the act. So it's possible. That does help, because then if it's the same people doing it over and over again, we will eventually get them.
All right,
I appreciate that. And what would be my move here? How would I go about just call a police department when I have this problem? Or?
Exactly.
Yeah, is it appropriate to call 911 with something like that?
Well, you pretty much have to if it's after hours. And you would just explain to them that there's a noise, because I hear it. You know, I've got a police radio in my vehicle, and I hear those kind of calls similar to that, where people are complaining about loud music next door or whatever. And the police will respond to it, and if they can get them, they'll deal with it. But a lot of times they're gone by the time we get there. But you just keep letting us know, and eventually we'll catch them.
Well, I appreciate your answer.
It's easier said than done, but we will work hard at it.
Okay, well, I have a problem here in the neighborhood. A guy works on cars, mm-hmm. and sometimes they don't have no mufflers on them, and they think it's cute to rev them engines up. And
sure.
It just drives me nuts, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, that's a stationary target that you've got there, Robert.
Yep.
Yeah, that's easier.
You let us know, and then if you make those reports and you don't feel like something's happening, just give me a call and I'll follow up on it. But they're doing a very good job of responding to these things.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Robert.
I sure appreciate your answers.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Robert.
Bye.
We're speaking to Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. You can join the conversation with any question that you might have. 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, let me ask you, while we're on the topic of law enforcement, you know, you've had Hillary Clinton in Terre Haute, and looks as though there's quite likely you're going to have Barack Obama on Friday. What kind of a strain does that put onto the police department?
You know, really, you know, I had got that question asked to me by several people after that, Hillary Clinton came to town. We didn't have any increased expense for the city at all. Most of those officers volunteered for that duty, or they were on the day shift anyway. It'll be the same situation for this Friday, depending on the exact time and the location. But we're trying to do it in a way that doesn't cost the taxpayers any money and put that burden on us. Now, a Friday night event becomes a little bit more difficult, because we try to have additional officers on the street, you know, on Friday and Saturday nights than what we normally do. So, but we've already worked out some things, and we're actually going to go up and assist Clinton also, with Bill Clinton visiting up, you know, to our neighborhood.
The town of Clinton, we should say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
we've offered to have some officers volunteer to go up there and assist them, because they have a very small police department and they need some effort. So we're trying to reach out and just do things that don't cost the taxpayer any money, but make sure we have that high level of security so nothing happens here in our community.
I saw that you were there to greet Senator Clinton when she was there. I mean, it has to be exciting for the community. That said, not the ideal situation for you being a Republican, of course.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's important no matter what. I mean, I think it's a real it's great for Terre Haute. It's great for Indiana that we're in play here in this election, you know, that they're paying attention to Indiana. So I think it's important for the mayor to greet any, you know, visitor like that, especially a presidential candidate. You know, one of these folks is going to be the president. So I don't think we'll get McCain to come here, but we'll see. But, you know, I just think we need to do that. And with Barack Obama, I intend to hopefully greet him and just welcome him to the city and then get out of the way and let them do their thing.
All righty. Let's go back to the emails. Here's an email from Chris. And it says, is the Margaret Avenue Improvement Project on schedule to begin this year? And that question confuses me a little bit, because I thought it was on schedule to begin next year.
Yeah, it's always been next year. But see, I had some bad information when I took office too, because I thought I'd heard from somebody had told me, and I read that it was going to, what's happening this year is land acquisition. So the first stretch will be from 3rd Street to 7th Street. And we're in the process of getting ready to make the offers and begin to close on those properties in that section. And then next April of 2009, based on the original schedule, that's when construction will actually begin.
I mean, this is like the biggest project the city has underway right now. $70 million, is it?
Yeah, it's $73 million. Those first four blocks are going to cost $7.9 million, right at $8 million to do the first four blocks, which $3.5 million of that is in land acquisition.
Okay, so what is going to get underway this year?
Well, on Margaret, you won't see anything.
Oh, no, not on Margaret, but just in general.
With other projects, well, we've got a lot of projects in place or are kind of ongoing right now.
Sure.
And what's happening right now, the asphalt plant's opened, which is huge for us, so we can go ahead and get the Edgewood Grove finished and the Oakland Avenue area, get 4th Street finished this year. We've got 13th Street, that part at Margaret where we're dealing with, to get going. We've got Brown Avenue we need to continue with. We've got other sewer projects. And then we have 9 different sewer-related lift station or sewer improvements that we're going to be doing this year. A lot of the things that we're planning for this year, probably 90% of them are all going to happen this year, and we'll be kicking off here now the construction season has started. We're not starting any brand-new road projects this year. We're working on completing the ones we have and especially the sewer side of things.
But what can people expect to see actually affecting their commutes here in the early part of the spring?
Well, once we get Margaret Avenue open, that's going to help a lot. And we'll get 13th Street open at some point here this summer. I think those will be key things. You know, these 4th Street will be opening back up once we get the second phase of it will be finished. And, you know, I think you'll start seeing more of that. And what you're going to see is a little bit of a tie-up down on the south end of town. It's not a city project, but a state project to do some widening at 41 and 70.
Yeah.
So that's going to cause some issues, and we're going to be trying to communicate with the public to begin to look at some other routes. But that will be a real issue this summer of traffic flow down towards the mall area and up north into town.
Well,
something to be wary of.
Right, absolutely. I mean, and a lot of these projects are things that, well, I think all of them are projects that you inherited from your predecessor. And I'm wondering, especially with the Margaret Avenue project, is that still a project that you believe in and that you really think the city should keep moving forward with?
Well, I think we need to. That south end is a real traffic mess, as we all know. And we need to four-lane Margaret Avenue. And that's just an important part of moving traffic through and having an alternative. If I-70 gets shut down and you need to be able to route people through town, you can bring them through various ways. But if you can get them to that point, so there's a lot of benefit to doing that. I think what we're looking at doing is trying to find a way. It's a $73 million project, and it does not include an underpass or an overpass at 19th Street. We've got to address that. And so we're looking at ways to keep it keep the cost of something we can manage and actually do, yet make that a nice four-lane stretch of road. So we are moving forward with that.
We're speaking to Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Feel free to give us a toll-free phone call and join the conversation if you have a question or comment about city issues. 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, we're still talking about construction projects. What's going on with the Children's Museum? Have those plans been revised?
Yeah, they've been revised a little bit. They just recently came out with a release, kind of an update on that. And, you know, some of the construction costs have gone up, and they've decided to, you know, change their structure a little bit, make it a little bit smaller, and the kind of the connection next door. It's going to have its own appearance instead of having the Candlewood Suites Hotel and the Children's Museum kind of look like all kind of one entity, which I really kind of like the plan. I mean, I think it looks very good. The city, under the previous administration, had made a $1 million commitment to that museum. That money has all been forwarded to the museum now. We've taken care of our commitment there, and they're moving forward with fundraising. I think it's going to be a great asset to downtown, and they had to rework their plan just a little bit, and they continue to raise funds, but it's going to happen.
All right, and so it's basically it's been shortened, right?
Yeah, they've shortened it a little bit, but they have some opportunity to be able to expand on it later. But it really is something, I think it just came down to, it's a financial issue of them being able to raise the money. They want to make sure they've got the money to build it with the same approach that we're trying to take with the city projects, that we've got the money in place in order to build these things.
Well, while we're on the subject of finances, I mean, this is something that we have to talk about with every municipal leader in the state of Indiana ever since the legislative session came to a close, and that is that, you know, it was funny, right after the session ended, Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong actually sent out a directive to all of his department heads saying, I want proposals as to how you could knock 5% off your budget on my desk by the end of the month. Did you take any kind of action like that with your department heads?
Not yet. We had a meeting yesterday just specifically about this.
Really?
We brought in some of our consultants and our accounting folks that help us, and just to begin to look at, how are we going to approach the 2009 budget? You know, Terre Haute's going to get hit about $2 million next year and then at about $5 million in 2010. So we have to be prepared to reduce our budget by those amounts over the next 2 years. So we're going to begin to do that not only this year with, you know, some reduced spending in certain areas. We're just going to be prudent with the money. But then next year when we actually put a budget together to do some things to get us moving towards that $5 million that we know we're not going to have 2 years from now. So we're just starting that process.
Has anyone from the state approached you guys about the availability of money through, I think, what they're going to be setting up, like a distressed local government unit bureau to take requests from local government units that are really experiencing problems and they've got some money in line to help them out? Has anyone approached you about that?
No, I've heard about it, but nobody's approached us, and I haven't seen any details on that yet. You know,
that's
we're going to try to take care of our own business here, but I'm sure that things will change. I mean, the county's going to have to take a look at the, you know, local income tax. They're talking about the legislature had other pieces. That's where they're pushing it back on the locals to reduce what they're spending, but they're going to have to look at different alternatives because, I mean, a $5 million hit on a $56 million a year budget like the city of Terre Haute has is pretty significant.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to find ways to make it work.
877-285-9348 is the toll-free number to call. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk about something a little bit more fun, Mr. Mayor. I'm wondering how your new park superintendent is working out, who is Eddie Byrd, obviously brother of Larry Byrd, and in his own right was a really terrific player at ISU. And now he's in charge of City Parks. How's that working out?
Yeah, he's been on the job a couple of weeks now, and he's just, you know, getting his feet wet, basically. But he brings a lot to the table, kind of a different perspective. One of a guy that, you know, spent his years here at Indiana State University going to school and kind of seeing Terre Haute from that perspective, but then spending time working with the Department of Natural Resources for the state of Indiana and working for the Indianapolis Parks Department, and then the last 9 years working for the Pacers. You know, he brings a lot of ideas to the table, and he really has a focus on kids. And we hope to do more and more programs and things for the kids that we can do at little or no cost. You know, a lot of folks in our community don't have a lot of extra, you know, money to spend on things like that. And during the summer, we want to keep kids busy. So we're going to work really hard to implement some new programs. That's one of his focus areas. We also intend to plant more flowers in the parks and do things to brighten them up, be more cleanliness going on. I mean, our parks are great. We just want to take them, you know, to yet another level and really do more programming. So he is on board with that. He's excited, and we're moving on.
What does he think about liquor permits in Fairbanks Park?
Well, you know, when I was gone last week, he's working with the park board, and of course the park board was appointed by the previous administration.
Sure.
And there this has been something that's been going on a while, and they've been working on that, and they approached him and explained to him, and he sees the benefits of being able to do more things with our city parks. But, you know, everybody has an opinion, and I don't think everybody always has to agree on everything. But at the end of the day, whatever's decided, we all have to support it and work with it. So this is an interesting case where you've got a park board, you've got a park superintendent, you've got a mayor, and you've got a city council, and then you've got everybody's opinions in between. And it's not an easy one, and I think that you're going to have a lot of different viewpoints of why it's good, why it's bad, and that's kind of what we're going through right now.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out. Let's go back to the phones. We have Jane on the line who'd like to talk a little bit more about recycling.
Okay.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I live in Terre Haute, and I wanted to know if there are any plans to have recycling either curbside or collection areas.
Well, you know, we do the curbside recycling now with a $5.50 fee. You can sign up with Republic, and they'll bring a dumpster out, and they'll pick it up every other week immediately. So if you called them today, they'd probably bring you a tote within the next day or two, and then they would bill you quarterly for that $5.50.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great to know.
Yes, but we're also looking at some other alternatives for the folks that don't want to pay that, but we really haven't got that nailed down yet because we want to roll this program out and see how many people we can get involved with it before we look at alternatives.
Yeah, we'll make that 901 now, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I haven't signed up yet. I thought I did. I hadn't sent my form in, so I'll be signed up soon too. No, but like they don't take glass, and that's an issue. And we're looking at some alternatives where people who do collect glass who want to recycle it, you can take it to ISU. But we want to also look at some other alternatives to give people options to be able to recycle if you don't do it at your house. But we're hoping people will sign up and do it that way.
Are you going to have something come out to the residents to give them the information so that they'll know what needs to be done?
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time on that so far, but not everybody reads the paper or watches TV, and that's where a lot of our communication has been. We've had a couple of public meetings, but both been advertised through the media. But when your trash dumpster or your trash regular trash unit comes to your house, there'll be three pieces of information. One 2 weeks prior, one week prior, and then the day we deliver it. And there is information in there about the recycling program. And all you have to do is call. They'll bring you a gray tote versus the blue tote, and you'll be ready to go.
Fabulous. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for the call,
right.
Jane.
Bye.
Let's see. We've got just a couple of more minutes left with Mayor Bennett here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. We've got time for maybe one more call, 877-285-9348. Or email mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, while we've got time, and I really don't want to linger on this, but I do want to bring it up, which is that, despite any impressions to the contrary, the dispute over City Hall between yourself and your predecessor does remain alive. Now, the details of the case are Byzantine, and I don't think you even really want to talk about them, and I don't blame you for that. But I want to ask you, do you think that the people of Terre Haute need to be prepared for the idea that the Burke administration could be back in City Hall by the end of the year?
Well, who knows what can happen? I mean, a court could decide anything, and it's really hard to even pinpoint when they'll decide. You know, the briefs have been filed, and now we're just kind of in that waiting mode of when will they actually make a decision. And, you know, we've heard anywhere it could be 6 months to a year and a half. You know, I have no idea, and I'm not getting hung up on that. I'm just moving on and doing what I need to do here. And whatever the court rules will be whatever the court rules. I don't anticipate them ruling against me. I really don't. Based on the information we have and the attorneys we've talked to and the folks in Washington, D.C. even, and just everywhere that we've dealt with. But anything's possible. And I just think that people need to take the approach that, like any other thing, when you're waiting on legal action or a court to decide on something, you continue to do the business, because no matter what happens, there's going to be a mayor here, and Terre Haute's going to keep moving forward. And I hope that, I'm planning on it being me, but, whatever happens, we'll have to decide what legal action to take if they would overrule us, and we'll just, we'll just deal with it as it comes. But I'm just trying to be positive and stay above any there's city business to be done, and that's what I'm focusing on.
Sure, but, how much space does it occupy in your mind on a day-to-day basis anymore?
Well, not much anymore, only what we have to do to respond to things. Of course, you got to invest in it because you want to make sure you're doing the best job you can to provide the information. With the brief is done, there's really nothing else I can do from that perspective. And, yeah, it comes up. People bring it up periodically, but it seems to be less and less every day. I'm not hearing it near as much as I did, 2 months ago.
If there was a turnover of administration, in a year's time or something like that, I mean, do you think that would really – how injurious do you think that would be to the city?
Well, it would be very difficult. I've put my people in place. We've changed some things like every administration does when they come in. And, I'm sure that it would all play out, but it would be very interesting process. I think it would be a very unique thing, that's for sure.
Sure,
I think that I'm sure that the judges, consider all that about what's the impact here, and that's just something they will have to deal with, and they'll rule on the law, and whatever the law is, we'll comply, and we'll do the best we can to make the least disruption to the city of Terre Haute, no matter what happens.
Well, Mayor Bennett, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Join us again next week. Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan will be in the studio with us. Production support for Ask the Mayor does come from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lapp in Real Estate. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Paskash, I'm Adam Ragusea. Thanks for listening.